The Tory presents Pieces of Classical Verse, read to you by Pratham Datta. I wish you merry listening. The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, written by T.S. Eliot, read to you by Pratham Datta.
Se io credesse che a me riposta fosse, a persona che mai tornasse al mondo, questa fiamma staria senza più scosse. Ma perché c'è ghia mai di questo fondo, non torno vivo alcun, se odio il vero, senza tema d'infamia ti rispondo.
Psst, no one has yet returned alive. If what I hear is true, I answer without fear of being shamed.
This was written by Dante, as if it's a chat between Guido de Montefeltro and Dante, who's condemned to the eighth circle of hell and is counseling Pope Boniface the Eighth. And Pope Boniface, because of something called simony, which is selling favours of the church for your own good, was condemned, as was he, because of his killing of 6,000 citizens of a place called Palestrina. And this all happened in the 13th century. But as the story goes on in Dante's Inferno, these epigraphs basically talk about something nefarious is happening and something very manipulative is coming true.
Let us go then, you and I. When the evening spread out against the sky like a patient eat rice upon a table. Let us go. Through certain half-deserted streets, the muttering retreats of restless nights in one-night cheap hotels and sawdust restaurants with oyster shells. Streets that follow like a tedious argument of insidious intent to lead you to an overwhelming question. Oh, do not ask, what is it? Let us go and make our visit. In the room, the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo. The yellow fog that rubs its back upon the window panes, the yellow smoke that rubs its muzzle on the window panes, licks its tongue into the corners of the evening, lingered upon the pools that stand in drains, let fall upon its back the soot that falls from chimneys, slipped by the terrace, made a sudden leap, and seeing that it was a soft October night, curled once about the house and fell asleep. And indeed there will be time, for the yellow smoke that slides along the street, rubbing its back upon the window panes, there will be time to prepare a face to meet the faces that you meet. There will be time to murder and create, and time for all the works and days of hands that lift and drop a question on your plate. Time for you and time for me, and time yet for 100 indecisions, and for 100 visions and revisions, before the taking of a toast and tea. In the room, the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo. And indeed there will be time to wonder, do I dare and do I dare? Time to turn back and descend the stair with a bald spot in the middle of my hair. They will say, how his hair is growing thin. My morning coat, my collar mounting firmly to the chin. My necktie rich and modest, but asserted by a simple pin. They will say, but how his arms and legs are thin. Do I dare disturb the universe? In a minute there is time for decisions and revisions which a minute will reverse. For I have known them all already, known them all, have known the evenings, mornings, afternoons. I have measured out my life with coffee spoons. I know the voices dying with a dying form, beneath the music from a farther room. So how should I presume? And I have known the eyes already, known them all. The eyes that fix you in a formulated phrase. And when I am formulated, sprawling on a pin, when I am pinned and wriggling on the wall, then how should I begin to spit out all the buttons of my days and ways? And how should I presume? And I have known the arms already, known them all. Arms that are braceleted with white and bare, but in the lamplight, downed with light brown hair. Is it perfume from a dress that makes me so digress? Arms that lie along a table or wrap around a shawl. How should I then presume? And how should I begin? Shall I say, I have gone at dusk to narrow streets and watched the smoke that rises from the pipes of lonely men in shirt sleeves leaning out of windows. I should have been a pair of ragged claws scuttling across the flows of silent seas. And the afternoon, the evening, sleeps so peacefully, smoothed by long fingers, asleep, tired, or it malingers, stretched on the floor, here beside you and me. Should I, after tea and cakes and ices, have the strength to force the moment to its crisis? But though I have wept and fasted, wept and prayed, though I have seen my head grown slightly bald, brought in upon a platter, I am no prophet, and here's no great matter. I have seen the moment of my greatness flicker, and I have seen the eternal footman hold my coat and snicker. And in short, I was afraid. And would it have been worth it after all? After the cups, the marmalade, the tea, among the porcelain, among the talk of you and me, would it have been worth while to have bitten off the matter with a smile? To have squeezed the universe into a ball, to roll it towards some overwhelming question, to say, I am Lazarus, come from the dead, come back to tell you, I shall tell you all. If one, settling a pillow by her head, should say, that is not what I meant at all, that is not it at all. But would it have been worth it after all? Would it have been worthwhile after the sunsets and the dooryards and the sprinkled streets, after the novels, after the teacups, after the skirts that trail along the flow, and this and so much more? It is impossible to say just what I mean, but as if a magic lantern through the nerves and patterns on a screen. Would it have been worthwhile if one, settling a pillow or throwing off a shawl and turning toward the window, should say, this is not it at all. This is not what I meant at all. No, I am not Prince Hamlet, nor was meant to be. I'm an attendant lord, one that will do to swell a procrus, start a scene or two, advise the prince, no doubt, an easy tune, deferential, glad to be of use, politic, cautious and meticulous, full of high sentence, but a bit obtuse, at times indeed almost ridiculous, almost at times the fool. I growled. I shall wear the buttons of my trousers red. Shall I part my hair behind? Do I dare to eat a peach? I shall wear white flannel trousers and walk upon the beach. I have heard the mermaid sing each to each. I do not think that they will sing to me. I have seen them riding seawards on the waves, combing the white hair of the waves blown back, when the wind blows back the water white and black. We have lingered in the chambers of the sea, by seagulls wreathed with seaweed red and brown, till human voices wake us and we drown.